You're by yourself.
All of us. All right. Well, here. So, I call the meeting to order. We have present.
Nancy Mills.
Whole packets.
Barbara Morris.
You want the whole
packet? Bill Kennison.
Oh, I want the whole packet.
Yeah.
Amy Alvarez.
Jeannie Lively.
And Joyce Miller. We don't have anybody for public forum today. So, will you see? We'll proceed to the minutes. Oh, you've already separated them out for me.
Yes.
All right. Okay, she has submitted the minutes.
There's actually Bill this time.
Thank you. All right, anybody have any corrections or additions to the minutes? Give me a minute to look at it. Anybody? All right. Okay, do we have a motion to accept the minutes?
I move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Nancy, the treasurer's report, please.
Okay, the treasurer's report. Our checking account balance says at the end of August was $179,398.27. Our current balance as of, I think that was Saturday, was $212,207.96. We're starting our new fiscal year, so our September tax revenue that came in was $48,775. That was a 33% increase over the tax revenue for last year in September. Let's see. So the tax income so far this year, here today, is still just the $48,775. And our budget was $464,400. So we're at 10.5% of our budget, which is ahead of where we should be. And our expenses, total expenses year to date, and this is a final on expenses because it's September 20th through August. Expenses were $385,545.45. And our budget was $417,139. So we wound up the year $31,593 less than we budgeted, spending 92.43% of our budget. Our CD investments right now total $515,749.11. And I just sent another $2,500 to Tech School on 9/28. It'll go in tomorrow. Any questions?
No questions? The difference in the the budget amount, that 31, do you think that's probably because we had...
We didn't buy as much materials because there was a good part of the year we weren't even open. And a lot of places that we wanted to buy from weren't open.
Yes.
I think, I haven't looked at the numbers in particular, but I think that that's probably where the biggest...
The salary, didn't we have?
We were okay on that. You know, Rachel left, So that was a little bit less because we had budgeted for her for the whole year, but she lagged a little bit.
And April didn't get as...
And April did not write.
As much.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, good deal. All right, we will take that subject to audit and accept that. All right. The contract for the annual outside audit, I think you want to talk about that. The Grimsley is here in the contract.
Well, I think, you know, it's the same basic contract for the audit that we've done every year. And, Jeannie, what was the fee, audit fee?
It is he's estimating it at $3,000,
okay.
Not to exceed $3,500. And he's usually right at $3,000.
Okay, so. Any questions before we vote to do that? No questions? All right. I'll entertain a motion to accept the William Grimsley's contract to audit.
This is comparing August of this year with last year, so we're still seeing some pretty good gains just because limited hours. Our circulation went up 38% in last August. Our electronic materials went up by 8%. We had 120% increase in new patrons. 78% in computer users. Our website users went up by 56, and the sessions by 44%. We even saw an increase in our interlibrary loan. Usually that is pretty static, but at least for those that were being ordered, we saw an increase, so that was good. Excited about that. We added 70 books for the adult collection, 6 DVDs. We added 27 audiobooks. For young adult books, we added 3, 1 young adult DVD, and 13 children's books. With the start of school, August was much quieter than the rest of the summer. And I do have our attendance numbers here in this chart if you want to look at them. We had a lot of fun at the first annual Red Hot Chili Pepper Bad Poetry Night, and I have a few pictures for you.
That's fine. You had me over there.
I should have put you on the side. I wouldn't.
You did.
There.
You did. Oh, okay. I moved.
That became our unofficial theme. Someone, Julie's husband, had that hat on, and we thought that's good. That's a good thing.
I tasted one of the chilies. I think
they
I would
hot.
Have died.
Yeah. So some people perform on their own, like Travis, but then some people would work together. This is Travis and Katie Hill from Barrow Brewing. This shows you kind of the different ways people would do this. The lady on the far end, she would take a little bite and just put it in her cheek and read the words real fast and then swallow. Katie started this, and you're going to see she paid the price in a minute, but she just got up in front of everyone and took a huge bite out of the pepper and just started reading. And so then this girl copied her. So there were the two methods of reading and you know, eating chili pepper and reading. Some people were very dramatic. This man had a very deep voice, and he would take a huge bite, and then he would just take his time and read the poem, and it was very dramatic. It was funny. And as you can see, he would like stare at the pepper. And then he would start the poem. It was funny. He was very dramatic. As you can see, Katie paid the price. She got to like the third level, and she took, and I forget which pepper that was, but as you can tell, it was very hot. And they could buy cheats, and she had all the cheats. She had the bread, the yogurt, the milk,
all that stuff down with the liquid.
Look in her eyes.
Yeah. And we were worried about it, but she called us the next day and said, I'm okay, don't worry. They're like, okay. And that man in the back, you had to write your own poem for the last round, and that's Travis in the back, and he was writing his own poem. And then these two, just more people, you know, you can see how hot the, I forget what kind of pepper that is.
These are hot.
That was the one that took out most of the contestants, was that pepper. And our winner was Dusty Ramsey. And we had a lot of fun, and they want us to do it again, so.
Really?
And it was interesting, you know, we were worried at one point, but we had them sign a waiver. Surely if they see you have to sign a waiver, they would be a little worried, but no one hesitated, so. Anyway.
Nobody had a reaction, and you had to take them to the hospital.
No, that we know of. It was a lot of fun. And I want to thank Sue DeLeo. She served as a judge for us, and we had a lot of fun. Upcoming events, of course, our adult crafts are on the 6th. We've started a teen writing club and a Dungeons and Dragons group. This month was when they started, and they've become very popular, and they're happening right now. And they'll continue through October. You can see the dates. Storytime's always popular. We're going to try a new book club, a true crime book club that Julie Hoy is going to lead. And it's on the 7th. She wants it Thursday evenings. So that she, you know, we're open later, and so.
Did the walking one not work?
No, she just said it was too hot, and I think she's right. We're also going to be trying out an evening adult craft group, in addition to the regular one during the day, because we have had people say, I would love to do adult crafts, but I'm at work or whatever. So we're trying this. We're going to do it on Thursday night, October 14th. I do not know what the craft is yet. Julie is going to lead that, and she was getting ideas. So we'll see what that craft is going to be. October 20th will be kids pumpkin decorating, not carving, decorating. And the kids will bring their own pumpkins in, and we will just give them stuff they can, you know, stickers or whatever they can do to decorate. On the 23rd, we're doing a teen's haunted terrarium, which is just a terrarium with vampires and zombies and spiders and things that they can put in. And then, of course, our already established book clubs, one led by Joycelyn, one by Jane Hackley. These are their dates. We will resume our 6 to 7:30 hours in October on Thursday night. I was holding off doing that, but I think we're going to go ahead and do it because we've had some people like, wait, I thought you were open Thursday. You know, they come in at 6 and all, so. And I will be out of the office October 4th through the 6th. Again, as you know, really great staff. If you need anything, ask them. You also have my cell phone. If there's something you need to talk with me about, just give me a call. And that's it.
All right. Wait a minute. The library is going to be open until 7:30 p.m. It says every Monday night.
Oh.
Is that right?
No, Thursday.
Okay, so it's every Thursday night.
The library will resume late hours on Thursday nights. Oh, I see. Sorry, I just wasn't thinking when I typed it. It's Thursday.
Thursday, okay. But I missed something.
No.
All right, good. Any questions for Jeannie? Okay. All right, we've got a couple things going. We've got quite a few things going. If you'll take the update that I gave you on this, we have quite a few things that are happening all at once now. First of all, our cash offer of $321,000 has been accepted, and with our paying the title insurance like we talked about last time. That $3,000 is not just title insurance. That's the closing cost. It should be about, I think it's $2,900 and something. It's close, anyway, to $3,000. This was approved by vote of the board and signed by me, and Nancy and I signed it. Jenny was there that day. I signed remotely from the car. That was during my time when I was, oh well, anyway, I was indisposed, let's put it that way. Anyway, so Jenny went and we did sign it. So we are, it's on. The Feasters are having to do the rezoning because they did not accept a contract. We had to own the building. And that was either a change or Melanie did not realize that when she had first told us that we needed a signed contract for us to get the rezoning done. It turns out when we actually got the form, it had to be notarized that we own the building, own the property. And so we called her, and the Feasters now effective. She sent me a notice today at 2:19 that the application has been made now from the Feasters. There was a discussion about historical or I think it was public facility. Don Ferguson had wanted us to do the property as public facility, but Melanie thought the same way we did, that both pieces of property should have the same zoning. If we can do that, we need to keep them both the same and not have one thing and then the other. So we are asking that they go ahead and ask for historical on that as well. It may come back and they may tell us that they won't, but we'll just see about what we can do. But our feeling was that we needed to do the same on both pieces of property. We met on September the 14th, the ad hoc committee did, to look at the timeline. We had been told by Don Ferguson that there was no way we could close at the date that was on the contract because of the time that it took. You have to, it has to be publicly out there for at least 30 days, and they only meet twice a month, and we couldn't do the application.
And they weren't meeting in that first meeting. They meet the second and third Thursday, second and fourth Thursday of the month, and they weren't meeting the second Thursday, which I've since found out their chairman passed away with COVID. Passed away, yeah.
Who is this?
Oh, I forgot his name. I read it in the paper. He was the chairman of the PNC.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you know who that is, Bill? I can't remember his name, man. But that's probably why they weren't meeting on that second Thursday, is because he was ill.
Could be. Anyway, it's probably going to be November. It might even go into early, the first meeting in December. But that's all right with the Feasters. They are okay with it. They want to sell to us. And they haven't put it on for sale to anyone else. And that's their desire, that we have the property. So they're not concerned about the time. The survey for the field study has been done for the property, but they haven't made the report yet. I did not see that among the things with Melanie today. That wasn't one that I saw. So as soon as it's complete, they will give it to us. That survey, by the way, is needed for the planning and zoning, so I'm suspecting that they either are, if they turned in the application, with the application you were supposed to turn in a list of about 8 different items that they wanted, and one of those was a survey. So I suspect they have the survey. We just haven't seen it yet. I guess we'll see it when it is available to us. Nancy has contacted Thomas Baird, ours or their real estate attorney, to see if he'll review the covenants. And we put those again in your packet there. You had those. I didn't realize they were that long. I'm sorry. I should have, because we were just looking at the beginning. But anyway, he's going to look at that to see if there's any reason that that cannot be fixed legally on property 2, the second piece of property. It doesn't have anything to do with the first one. The first is okay. We don't know if there's going to be charges. He is on retainer by the Feasters. The Feasters are paying the real estate fee completely. We're not paying any of that, so I don't know if they will pay Thomas Baird as well. We'll see. If there is a charge, then we will come back to you to get that approved by them. Stop me if you have any questions as we go along. As soon as the rezoning request is completed, we can now, and that has been turned in, we can engage a professional to inspect the duplex. We've been told it's about $700, and they have asked that one member of the board accompany the inspector. This was approved in the original vote for the property purchase, and we now effective yesterday, day before yesterday, we got the disclosure statements from each of those, and there was nothing on them that was remarkable. Everything was in order. Everything looked in order. Now, that doesn't mean it's perfect, because they're lived in places, but everything was working. By the way, I did not include those. I could have, I suppose. But anyway, I think probably the best thing, after he inspects it, then we'll give that to you and show you that. In the disclosures, they have a place anyway there for us to see what has happened and then dispute anything that we see. We have purchased this as is. However, if there's anything on the disclosure sheets that say that it's in working condition and it is not, or if there's anything severely wrong with it, then we should probably dispute it. But that's why they do the disclosures. If they tell you that everything is in working condition and it isn't and needs to be replaced and so forth, now that is then their responsibility, because they've done that. We were assured by Don Ferguson on September 13th that the utility easement will not be in our prospective building area. Don't worry about that. We still are unsure of the status of the sewer, which is still on an undetermined timeline. I think we'll hear that for a while anyway. The current property manager is Larry Barrier, and Jeannie, you contacted him. He did request that we go through Melanie Kirschmeyer, because he is employed by the Feasters, and doesn't really want to talk with us without their knowing that we're talking with them. Melanie has told us that the normal expense for property management is 8 to 10%, which is no more than $193 per month. That's 10%. That's the amount of rent that we will get each month. It's $1,930. So the $193 per month is 10%. And I had asked Nancy if she would do a financial analysis concerning the property. And so you have somewhere back here, you have that. Okay, Nancy, you want to talk to us about what you've done?
Well, before we signed the contract, we had considered whether to pay cash or get a loan, and we looked at the kind of the pros and cons of that, and you can kind of just see for yourself there. I put a fence to it, and what we would expect to pay in loan interest would be a lot more than what we could earn on that same amount in CDs. We wouldn't receive it since we don't have to pay taxes, so we wouldn't have any tax benefit on a loan like a homeowner would. And the pro of getting a loan was that we would not deplete our cash reserves, but as you can see on the next category, we're going to have, after we pay for the purchase, we'll probably have about $403,957 left over in remaining cash, and that works out to be about 11 and a half months of our operating budget based on the budget for 21-22. And as of the end of our fiscal year, the last fiscal year, we had a net income for that year of $143,421. That is just talking about sales tax. That's not, I didn't include the other income that we have, the like fines or fees or anything like that. And then over the next 5 years, and you can look on the attached spreadsheet, this is what was kind of shocking to me. Using 12.5% increase per year, which is what it's the average that it's been on our tax income over the past 5 years, we have increased 12.5% per year. Using that and multiplying the number each year, and then using 8% increase for our expenses, which is what we've usually been figuring in our budget, is that each year our expenses increase by 8%. It looks like in the next 5 years, we will have net income of $1.385 million. So, and over the past 5 years, actually six, one, two, three, four, five, past six fiscal years, we've had net income of $400,985. So we're going to definitely make up that $324,000 pretty quickly. Now that income I'm talking about does not include the income from the duplexes, which could run as much as about $18,500 net per year, or $90,000 plus over 5 years. And I'm saying 5 years, it may be a little less, it may be a little more by the time we get ready to do an expansion, but I'm just estimating it would be 5 years. And then just for y'all's refresher, I put down, we had talked about in the next 5 to 7 years that if we did an expansion on the south side, which is the end here where we have the septic field now, we had kind of done a concept drawing where we had a expansion of almost 3,000 square feet. If it cost $250 per square foot, that would be $737,500 plus the septic reclamation and the sewer hookup. If we did an expansion on the east side where the duplex is now, we had done a concept drawing with an expansion of about 5,600 square feet at the same cost per foot. That would run about $1.4 million. Then our sewer hookup and septic reclamation we had talked about would run probably around $100,000, give or take. We don't know for sure. So future ways to finance our expansion that we are thinking about would be, we could finance it and take out a loan, we could pay partial cash, we could do grants, we could do community fundraising. So I would probably look at doing definitely grants, definitely community fundraising, and maybe some financing as well. But that's just some kind of food for thought. I don't think we need to take action on, but it's just...
Well, I just thought that we needed an update on what we were spending and how and why and where and so forth. But it looks like growth is upon us. And if growth is upon the community, then we'll reap some of those benefits, it sounds like to me. 12.5% is, if that's been consistent for the past 5 or 6 years, then that's probably a good,
actually,
who knows? I mean, we never know what it's going to be, but anybody who projects anything is taking what is happening in the community and using that as well, and that's what we've done. Well, thank you, Nancy. That was very informative.
Actually, the growth has gone from fiscal year 16-17, it was 8.37%. 17-18, it was 12.26. Fiscal year 18-19, it was 9.69. 19-20, it was 13.86. And last year, the growth in our tax income was 18.77%.
So
It averaged 12.5% over the past 5 years. So, yeah.
Well, that's good. Any questions of Nancy before we continue? Well, thank you. All right, that's a help. Okay, Friends of the Library. Nancy, are you still doing that one? We're calling on you quite a bit today.
We did meet, was it last Tuesday?
Tuesday.
Yeah. And I don't know that we did much except we voted to have our next annual meeting on, I think it was November 1st.
Yes.
At 2 p.m. And at that meeting, of course, there's usually the president gives kind of a State of the Union address. And the new officers are presented as candidates and elected. So, and Mary French, I think, has agreed. I think everybody has agreed to serve as, again, another term that Mary French is the president, so Tom Henninger is the vice president, and I am looking to go off the Friends board, so they're looking for a replacement for me.
What time do they meet for this annual meeting?
2 p.m. there'll be some cookies or refreshments.
All right. Always good stuff here.
And in January, Jeannie's going to have a wish list for the friends to look at and to vote on. So they've got about $12,000 in their kitty, and they're pretty generous about supporting the library.
Always like to have good friends group, that's for sure. Okay, our October board meeting. Bill, you're our resident person to tell us what. I think I've got mine.
Reach it.
It's. Yep.
I know we'll have to have our investment policy and.
Do you want me to go get it?
I was just looking at it. Maybe I put it somewhere else. I think I looked at it like 2 days ago.
I don't think there's anything else.
Anything other than the...
I'll double check it, but if I... I think so.
Anybody know anything that you want to bring up next meeting? Anything? October? Yes.
I was wondering when the handrails were.
Oh, okay. I can give you the latest. So I've had three bids now. One of them was the $4,500 that I presented a while ago. There was another gentleman that came and he wrote down on a piece of paper and showed me $2,800 and something, but I never got the bid from him. I mean, you know, like the formal bid. Then a third man came last week and he gave me a bid of $1,400. So that's three bids, and I figure go with the $1,400 one.
Did he tell you what he was going to do?
It was just going to be very simple.
Just a rail.
The thing that seems to throw everyone off when they look at it is the curve. Mm-hmm. You know, because it curves. But he's figured out a way to. It might not be one continuous rail.
Right. Which
it might, you know, because
As long as there's something there.
Yeah. So, and I got that from him last week.
Okay.
And even though I didn't get the second one written, you know, policy says get three. I'm just counting that as number two.
Yeah.
Because it's been hard to find people. So I thought I would go with him. He's a young man, seems really eager to do the work. He's advertised in I found him in a Bell County Homes magazine. So.
And lighting, did we ever discuss light? It is so dark at night.
Yes, we have discussed it. I guess with everything, and I got a bid from
Amos. Do we want to pursue that with this other coming up?
Well, we could get this done and then
They gave us a whole bid for the porch and for walkways.
Was it motion?
The porch is motion.
Okay.
And then I believe it was solar for the walkways. That way.
Right.
And then I had asked for out back between the building and the bookshop. We have one that we can just leave on all night, but they said it'd be real simple just to put a cell there or something to just
Okay. Sounds good.
So those things.
They get started so early.
We like to see the lighting, especially now that you're going to have evening hours and it's darker, earlier.
I will call them and get that going.
Yep. And what about our AC?
So the gentleman that we went, whose bid we went with, came back and said, I can't find any parts to go in there. You're going to have to replace the whole thing. And he brought in a bid over $11,000. The other two bids, they didn't seem to have any problem with it. And so I went with the next bid up, which was $7,000. And I said, does that bid, do you need to come out again? Does it apply? Now, it seems to be the particular brand or parts we have in there. They're having trouble finding those, but he said, I can get you for the same amount, and he gave me three different, ream and carrier and the third one. And I just said, I just chose one and said, we'll go with.
But it's true, they are having trouble.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yes.
About her house.
Yeah. And so I went ahead and went with that. And they, he's working on getting the parts and then getting back with us. The friends wanted to have a gutter, if they need it, a rain gutter put up on this side of the building because water leaks in. And we found someone, real good bid, but it's going to take, he said, 6 to 10 weeks.
Yeah.
Just to get,
get the
materials and then get out here. So.
But at least if you start it, it'll.
Yeah.
They go fast.
Yeah. So, the railing's happening and that, but I'll go ahead with the lights too, so.
And Nancy and I, this is just a report back to you, met with the Gerald Library group. They had invited the community. They got a grant to have the community support and input on what they can do. They have a complete voluntary library. All people are voluntary and all the books are donated. They don't have a budget and they need some money. So they invited us to come over and Nancy and I went. I think they were a little disappointed. They didn't have a lot of people. Most of the people who came were the volunteers who were there rather than people in the community. But they are going to go ahead and try anyway. They're going to apply to be a library district because their community is not interested in helping them. And they are not in the city limits there, so they're planning to use, from what they're saying, their initial idea is to use the same boundaries that the school district in Gerald has. And we'll see if that happens, but they were just asking us questions primarily. They also had a person from Liberty Hill, who is a library district as well, and he came and answered questions for them as well.
Have they looked at our bookends and found material?
Okay. we give them a pretty regular basis when we bring materials to them.
And
they have visited here.
Okay. A lot.
They are in the MUD district building, MUD meaning multiple use district. And they have a house. Well, it's not a house. I guess it's a building. It's more a building. But the MUD district was only using a very small part of it, so they were kind enough to let them use the rest of the building. They started out with two rooms, and the district has given them two more rooms, and so they are beyond really what they can do. But anyway, we were able to help them.
And they were, I don't know if it was through the grant, they have actually hired a part-time girl.
That's true. Yeah. And she came and talked to Jeannie the week after we were there. She came over to see how things worked and so forth. So it's kind of nice to be helping someone that close. It was interesting when I looked at the library districts, and Jeannie already knew this, they are mostly in this corridor, in the I-35 corridor down with Liberty Hill over here and so forth. And there is there's one in Fort Worth and so forth. But most are in this corridor. So they're close, and that's good that you can call upon someone who's already done that. So that was good. That was enjoyable. I found my list, and the only two things that are on it are the annual report by the board president, and the other is the review of the investment policy. We do that on a regular basis, and so we've got those two items that are on there. I knew it was there, and I thought I put it right where I'm putting it right now, but I guess I did not. Okay, any other items before we adjourn? Okay, I'll call for a vote motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.